Okay, it's good to be here.
Amen.
Appreciate good singing tonight.
Amen.
That was a great blessing. That song we just heard.
Amen.
Appreciate the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Saved by grace. Kept by grace. And in the ceaseless ages to come, we get to enjoy the riches of His grace.
Amen.
The Bible said in Ephesians 3, through Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's all of grace. I think it was Tom Hayes wrote the song years ago, Grace is My Story.
Yep.
All the way from earth to glory.
Yes, sir.
And that is true.
Yep.
And if you're truly saved tonight, you rejoice in the grace of God. Jesus is precious to your soul.
Amen.
And you love Him more than you love this world.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
And if He's not precious to you, that's because He's never yet become your Savior.
Right.
So I appreciate God and His saving grace and appreciate getting to be here, like I've said, tonight. You pray for me that God would help me. Galatians chapter number 5, if you want to turn your Bible and read along with us. I don't really have a subject as far as one particular subject on my heart tonight. Just got a few verses the Lord's laid upon my heart from this chapter. And we'll look at the verses God's impressed me with, and maybe it'll help somebody out there what the Bible says from these verses. So we'll start with verse number 1, Galatians chapter number 5. And the Bible says here, stand fast. Galatians 5, verse number 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, you know, that's a contrast statement there. Ye, you may be fallen from grace, but we, through the Spirit, amen, we're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith, the Bible said there. For we, through the Spirit, we live in a day where not too many people know much about life in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, letting the Spirit of God fill you. But that's the key to the Christian life. If we don't have the fullness of the Spirit, we can't have any kind of victory in the Lord Jesus. I mean, we can be saved and go to heaven, but we can live a defeated life down here. Instead of having liberty and freedom like Christ gave us when He saved us, we can live our days down here as a believer under the yoke of bondage and be miserable, as we saw last night, and wretched and poor and blind and naked. But the Bible said here, verse number 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now here's the thing that makes the difference. Circumcision doesn't make any difference. Uncircumcision doesn't make any difference. But what's going to make a difference in your life and my life is faith, but not just faith, but faith which works. A lot of people have a faith that doesn't work. We've got a faith that works.
Yeah.
And the way it works by love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So if you don't know anything about the love of God, you can't have any kind of faith that works in your life. Because it's all based on love. If it wasn't for the love of God, we'd never be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all started with the love of God. Amen. And so the Bible talks about faith which worketh by love. So I hope you've got a faith tonight, and it's a real faith and a genuine faith and a faith that has saved your soul, and a faith that's going to take you to Jesus one day and let you live in eternity with Him forever and ever. And if you've got that kind of faith, you've got a faith that's working right now.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just going to help you in eternity, but the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be helping you right now in your life.
Amen.
Now, you might come into the house of God and you say, Pastor Jeff or Pastor Richard or Pastor Mike or Pastor Brother Shepherd or Pastor Brother Cox or whoever pastor you may call upon, I need help. Well, if you're going to get help, I'm going to tell you we're going to get it tonight. You're going to get it by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if you get it. Amen. That's how it comes, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure. Praise God. You've got to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You never got saved had you not put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that you're saved by the grace of God, going on with God, if you need help from God, you still have to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to get the help that you need. We live in a generation where church people act like faith is not important. I just come to the house of God, show up, and all my problems are going to be fixed because I'm in the house of God. Your problems are not going to be fixed just because you come to the house of God. You got to hear about Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And what you hear, you've got to believe, and you've got to put faith in the word of God and in the Son of God, amen, to get help for your soul. Amen. Yes. So I read on. So the Bible said, verse number 5, for we through the Spirit, thank God for the help of the Spirit of God. He helps us. Amen. He helps us. Someone said, praise God. I'm strong in faith, giving glory to God. You wouldn't be there if the Holy Spirit hadn't been helping you. Amen. If you're strong in faith and you've got great hope still in the Word of God and in the things of God, it's because of the Holy Spirit working in your life and the Holy Spirit guiding you in the truth and the Holy Spirit filling your life and filling your heart. Thank God for the Holy Spirit and what we can experience through the Spirit of God. It's not through our flesh, but it's through the Spirit of God. It's not through religion. It's through the Spirit of God. It's not through circumcision or not being circumcised. It's through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to thank God for the Spirit and what we can enjoy and know and have and experience through Him. Amen. Why you giving up? Why have you lost your hope? You must not be walking in the Spirit. If you come into this service hopeless and full of despair, and your soul is not full of light, but it's full of darkness and defeat, I would ask you, what have you done in your relationship with the Spirit? Amen. Have you grieved the Spirit of God? Are you quenching the Spirit of God? Are you going contrary to what the Spirit of God is leading you to do? Are you letting the Spirit of God guide you into all the truth? Amen. Are you letting the Spirit of God fill you with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. Amen. Are you being filled with all the goodness of God by the power of the Spirit of God? I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's working in your life, and you're experiencing life through the Spirit. You're not a life that is hopeless, but you've got hope. Amen. And that hope is for righteousness. Oh, yes. You say, I don't even think about righteousness. I know you don't. I know you don't. That's evident. You don't have to tell us you don't think about righteousness. You don't have to tell us you don't long for righteousness. You don't have to tell us you didn't get up this morning hoping to God to be righteous. You don't have to tell us that. It's evident in your life.
Amen.
People act like, you know, this life in the Spirit is just nothing. Oh, it is something. See, I'm going to read it again for you unbelievers out there. For we, maybe not you, but we, through the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is helping me through His power, what's He going to bring me to? He's going to bring me to where I'm hoping for righteousness by faith. Amen. Hoping for righteousness. Do you have a hope tonight? If I were to ask you, where's your hope at? You would say, well, my hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I say, what do you have a hope for? You say, well, I've got a hope of heaven. I say, praise God for that. You say, I've got a hope that Jesus is coming back one day to get me out of here and all the saints. So you're looking for the blessed hope. That's a wonderful thing. Praise God. But let me ask you something. If Jesus doesn't come back and take you and I to heaven tonight, what are you going to do in the morning when you get up? Amen. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to get up and you're going to hope by faith for God to help you to live a righteous life right now.
Yeah.
You know what the hope of righteousness has to do with? It has to do with right now. It has nothing to do with out in eternity. It has everything to do with right now. How I'm going to live today. How I'm going to live tomorrow. How I'm going to live next year. If Jesus doesn't come back and catch us out of here, I'm going to ask you something tonight. Do you have a hope for righteousness in your heart? Why? You get up, I hope I have a good day today. You get up, I hope I get a lot done today. You get up, I hope I get my grocery shopping done today. You get up, I hope I get my schoolwork done today. Well, if you're a Christian, with all those other things you hope to get done, by the grace of God, through the power of the Spirit of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, you get up and you say, Father, more than anything else in the world, help me to live righteous. Amen. Help me to be righteous. Help me to live a righteous life today out there in an unrighteous world. Amen. Now, some of you have lost that. You had it when you first got saved. But somewhere along the line, you got entangled. When God set you free and gave you liberty, when He delivered you from the power of Satan, when He delivered you from the power of sin, when He brought you out of the kingdom of darkness. The evidence of all that was that you wanted to live holy. You wanted to be righteous. You wanted to be godly. You didn't want to live in the horrible pit that God dug you out of when He saved you. You didn't want to be that anymore. But God had put a hope to live righteously right now in your heart when He saved you. See, I'm going to read that again. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Can I say this about the life of faith? The life of faith, biblical faith, is characterized by righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Don't talk to me about your faith if it's not a faith that has produced righteousness in your life. I don't want to hear about your so-called faith that doesn't result in righteousness. True faith through the power of the Spirit of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Ghost helps you to trust Christ, it's not just for salvation, but it's for salvation and everything that comes with it.
Amen.
And you know what comes with it? After you get saved, you find out a life that brings glory and honor to God. A life of righteousness. A life of holiness. A life of purity. A life of Christ's likeness. Amen. Can I say this about the fullness of the Spirit of God? I don't know much about the fullness of the Spirit of God, but the fullness of the Spirit of God, Bible said, the fruit of the Spirit is what? The fruit of the Spirit is present tense, right now, in your life. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't have anything to do with heaven, doesn't have anything to do with being around the throne of God throughout all eternity. It has to do with right now. The Spirit of God is putting in your heart love, joy, peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit.
That's it.
Amen. That's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Right now, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right now, what is your life?
Amen.
Didn't they have a TV show one time, What is Your Life? So the Bible said, what is your life? And the Bible said, if your life is right, your life is, right now, love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, hallelujah, there is no law. Oh, yes. Praise God.
right now, I'm going to ask you, based on the Word of God, I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible said about being spiritual. Amen. Being spiritual has to do with every day, right now, present tense, letting the Spirit of God fill you with the virtues of Almighty God. And your life is characterized not by sin and wickedness, but by Christ and Christ-likeness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. See, the Bible talks about in verse number 4, some Christ has become of no effect unto you. Boy, I'd hate to be in that condition. Didn't say Christ never had an effect on you. Can I say this? And we'd all agree. When all of us got saved, if we really got saved, the Jesus that saved us had a great effect on our life. And if Christ never had an effect on your life, He has never saved you. Amen. You know what? I got saved on a Sunday morning, and before I got home, He had already affected my life. For the first time, going home after church service, for the first time in my life, I didn't go to the refrigerator to get something to eat. I didn't go to the living room to sit down and watch a ball game. I went outside in the woods and got down on my knees and began to try to thank God for what He had just done for my soul. God had already affected my life. Can I say something? When I got saved, when you got saved, He affected my attitude. He affected my desires. He affected the music I listened to. He affected what I watched with my eyes. He affected the way that I talked. He affected who I ran with. He affected my goals and my plans and my priorities. He affected everything about me. Amen. He affected the way I treated the Bible. He affected the way I looked at the church. He affected the way that I looked at prayer. He affected the way that I spent my money. He affected the way, amen, I chose my friends. Oh yes. Christ had an effect upon my life. Amen. That's one of the ways I know I'm saved.
Yes, sir.
Because God changed me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If any man be in Christ, he's not the same old creature he's always been. He's a new creature. Yes. When you get saved by the grace of God, the Bible doesn't say, keep on living like the old man's always been. He said, put on that new man. After God, who is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. I didn't even know what holiness was, but I wanted it. Amen. And everything I heard in those early days about being holy, it resonated with my heart. It caused my heart to say, Lord, that's what I want. That's how I want to live. That's how I want to be. Father, forgive me where I've sinned. Forgive me where I've come short. Help me to be more like Jesus. Help me to obey the Word of God and be holy. Amen. Now, he's talking about, for some, that Christ that affected your life so radically when He saved you. Now, He's become of no effect.
Yeah.
See, he says here, in verse number 7, ye did run well. But something's happened. It's not that your life is no longer being affected. The problem is it's not Christ who's affecting it. You come under somebody else's effect. You did run well. Who has hindered you.
Amen.
Some of you used to run well.
Yes, sir.
What's happened to your modest dress now?
Yeah.
Some of you used to run well. What's happened to your Bible study now?
Yeah.
Some of you used to run well. Why are you not excited about coming to church like you used to be?
Yep.
Some of you used to run well. Why don't you love the brothers and sisters in your church like you used to love them? You used to run well. You used to go out and tell people about the Lord. What happened to your witnessing? You used to run well. You used to give everything you could to the work of God and to the work of missions around the world. What's happened to you? You used to run well. Somebody,
yes, sir.
Somebody,
yep.
You see what he says here? Verse number 7, ye did run well. Who, amen,
yep,
did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Somebody's come along and, as the Bible put in verse number 8, this persuasion, you've come under their persuasion. Somebody in your life is now affecting you, not Jesus. You used to obey the Word of God, but they've convinced you, you don't have to obey the Word of God. That's too strict. That's too narrow-minded. That's too fanatical. That's too pharisaical. Oh, you used to have no problem. You used to rejoice in His commandments. I delight to do thy will, O God. You used to beg God to show you what the commandments were so you could keep them. Amen. Going all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. That's part of the gospel. Amen. After you get them saved, then you teach them to obey the commandments of God. And that's, you know, just learning the commandments is all it takes for us to obey them, because we got a heart now. We want to obey God. It's just a matter of learning how. Teach us how to obey.
Yep.
And so God teaches us. We rejoice to learn, but not just to learn, but to live, like that book said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Boy, we love to live like that. See, someone's come along in your life. Somebody's got your ear. Somebody you got involved with. Let me say this. I love every one of you in the Lord. I don't know some of you that much personally. But if you come up to me and you want to talk to me, I'm fine. I'd be glad to have a conversation with you. But in that conversation, if you start throwing off on the church, and you start throwing off on the preacher, and you start throwing off on these people that have faithfully served God for decades in this church, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you, I don't want to have anything to do with you right now. I don't want to come under your persuasion and your sour attitude. You need to go peddle that somewhere else.
Yes.
See, here's what's happened to some of you. You used to have freedom and liberty, and you loved God, and you're excited about serving God, and you ran. You ran in the ways of God. Amen. You just didn't walk. You were so excited, you gave all to serve God.
Amen.
But you know what? You started now to let a little leaven into your life.
There you go.
Things have come in your life that have affected you. Do you understand? You have let things come in your life that have affected you. And some of those things that you've let come in your life that are affecting you, that's because those people you're listening to have persuaded you it's all right to let them in. It's all right to let them in. Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's all right. I mean, a little bit won't hurt you. A little bit of Hollywood won't hurt you. A little bit of this rotten music won't hurt you. A little bit of these sexual sights won't hurt you. A little bit of flirting with the other opposite sex won't hurt you. A little bit being a little too friendly and getting a little too close to someone you shouldn't get close to won't hurt you.
Amen.
You don't believe your Bible.
Right.
How much of a corrupting agent does it take to leaven the whole lump. Just a little.
Amen. Amen.
Just a little.
That's right.
Just a little. Now, the Bible said here, and I want to remind you of this, in verse number 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. You know what he said in that statement? For in Jesus Christ. That's talking about salvation.
Yes, sir.
If you're in Jesus Christ, you're saved.
Right.
Amen. Yep. You know what changed your life? It wasn't being circumcised.
Nope.
You know what changed your life? It wasn't refusing to be circumcised. Whether circumcision or uncircumcision, that won't change your life. But I'm going to tell you what did change your life. If your life ever got changed, that was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 And you know what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does? It works. You know what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does? It produces something. You know what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does? It accomplishes something. You know what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does? It changes your life. And the evidence that your life has changed is the works that showed up.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Faith which worketh.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well,
James said, don't tell me you're saved and have faith in God if you don't have any works to prove it.
Right.
Faith without works is dead, being alone. You're just a vain man. Wilt thou know a vain man? Don't you know faith, so-called faith, faith alone won't change your life? Somebody said, I've got faith. Every man's got faith. Every man's got faith. It's not whether you got faith. It's whether you got faith in the right person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to put your faith. I'm talking about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've ever truly put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has affected your life and changed your life forever. Wasn't your rules and your religion and your do's and your don'ts. It was what Jesus Christ did when you put your faith in Him.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Now, can I say this? I think I will. I got the platform. Not taking pulpit advantage here, but can I say this in verse number 13? For brethren, stand fast in the liberty. You've been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Yes.
Now let me say this. Stand fast and liberty where Christ has made you free. I want to say again, when you got saved, God set you free.
Sure.
God set you free from the power of your flesh. God set you free from the power of your sins. God set you free from the power of Satan.
Yeah.
God set you free where you could serve Him. God set you free where you could live righteously. God set you free where you could please God. God set you free where you could produce what God wants you to be in your life. God set you free so the works of salvation and the fruit of the Spirit would give evidence to a world that's watching your life that God has made a difference in your life and God has changed you. God has affected you. See, God says, you just don't have to tell them you got saved. I'll show them you got saved. Amen. I'll back up your witness with the evidence of my work done in your heart because you trusted in my Son.
Amen.
Amen.
Now
here's what he says to us, brethren, when we come to the house of God. He saved us to live in the house of God like this.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 13. For brethren, you've been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So when we come to the house of God, you know what he wants us to do when we get here? He wants us by love to serve one another.
That's right.
So every time we come to the house of God, we have the ability, but also the choice. I can come to the house of God and I can love my brethren and serve them when I'm there.
That's right. Yes.
or. Verse number 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So when you come to the house of God, you come to the house of God, and through the Spirit of God, you can love and serve everybody there.
Amen.
But if leaven has got into your life, and Christ is not profiting you right now. See, be not entangled again.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of us have got entangled in this web of the flesh.
Yep.
And Satan. Mm-hmm. And Satan's agents. And Satan's emissaries that he sent to mess our life up. And we have got so entangled now, we're so twisted and knotted up with the flesh and corruption and leaven, we don't know if we can ever get straightened out. See, all of us probably got a 50-foot power cord in our garage. Every now and then my wife uses it. You'll get that in a minute. But when I go to use it occasionally, I'll plug that thing up, Brother Shepherd, and I'll start carrying it to where I'm going, and it stops at about 6 feet. And I thought, I know I bought a 50-foot cord. And it's just going 6 feet. And I look, and it's all knotted up.
Yep.
Those demon knot tires have got in it and tangled it all up. Now, I've still got a 50-foot cord. And it's still potentially able to do everything it ever could do. But I don't get to enjoy the benefits of it. Because I've got it so tangled up.
Yes. Come on now.
And some of you, God helped you marvelously when you got saved.
Yes,
you were such a beacon and a light and a testimony and a joy to be around. And when people came to the house of God, you encouraged them because you had such a sweet and a loving and a kind spirit. And you were so helpful. You wanted to serve. Everybody saw you as a servant. They are so humble. They are not trying to esteem themselves better than everybody else. Pat themselves on the back and say, look at me. I'm the most spiritual. I'm the most separated. Oh no, they took the lowly place of the humble servant in the house of God and let the Spirit of God fill them with God's love shed abroad in their heart.
Yeah.
And you know what? Back in those days, your life was a lot better than it is now.
Yep.
Come on now. Come on now. Your life was a lot better. Your attitude was a lot better.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So here's what he's saying. You can come to the house of God. And you can love and serve one another. See, and the way you can do that is you're saved. That's what gives you the enablement to love and serve one another, is the salvation of God. Don't ever think just because you're saved, it's always going to be like that. It's automatic. That I'm saved now, I don't have the ability to be one that bites and devours. But I remind you, brethren, when God saved you, did He take your teeth out?
No.
You still have your teeth.
Yep.
You still can bite and devour.
Yep.
Now here's the deception. When people in the church, instead of loving and serving one another, they start turning on one another and biting and devouring one another. When you start biting and devouring one another, the warning is, Take heed you're destroying that brother, is take heed, you're destroying yourself.
Right.
And everybody else.
Yes.
You're not trying to, you're not hurting them, you're hurting you. You're consuming yourself, you just don't know it. You just don't know it. You got so blinded by that one whom the devil sent in your life that got your ear, that turned you against Christ, who changed your life when He saved you and gave you this wonderful change in your life. He's got you all messed up, or she's got you all messed up.
Amen,
brother.
Yes. Amen,
brother.
Yes.
Yes. That's true.
Amen. So I don't know what the message is, other than praise God for a faith which worketh by love.
Amen.
Now, brother, I want to say this. It's not just faith and it's not just works. It's faith which worketh by love.
Yeah, sir.
I hear these fundamentalists talk about, you know, what all they are and what they're not. I'm this and that. I'm separated. I'm dedicated. I'm holy. I believe in this and this and this and this and this. I want to ask some of them, do you believe in love? Do you believe in God's love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost? Amen. Amen. What about the love of God? We would have no hope were it not for God so loved the world. God committed His love towards us while we were yet sinners, amen, and fallen and fighting against God. God showed us that He loved us by sending His Son to die on the cross.
Amen, amen.
Yes, exactly.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen.
God is good.
Yes,
I thank God He saved my soul.
Amen.
I thank God He had an effect on my life.
Yes.
I'm glad, hallelujah. See, when you sit out there and say Christ has no effect any longer, don't judge the rest of us by you. He might not be making a difference in your life. He is, by the grace of God, making a difference in my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He just didn't make a difference in my life over 40 years ago. To this day, He's still making a big difference in my life. He's still affecting me. Praise God.
Yes.
If the day ever comes where Christ is no longer affecting me, it's because someone has hindered me. Someone has hindered me. Amen. How come your friends now become those who don't really care for the church? Come on now. How come all of a sudden the crowd that you like to run with and hang with is the crowd that's always criticizing the church and the pastor and the preaching and everything that this church has always stood for since you was a little kid? This church hasn't changed. You've changed. The very things when you used to be happy and have joy when you came to the house of God, they're still the same way.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's not the same. No, you're not the same. I'm going to tell you who is the same. That's Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes, He is. Amen. Let's stand.